നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10-7, chapter 3. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Text 32. Twataha, twata paramna paramatyane jad. ഏതച്ചിവ്യതിരക്തമസ്തി വിദ്യാകലസ്തിനവശ്ചർവാരണ്യഗർഭോസി ബൃഹസ്തിപരം നരമപ്യ. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Lacy Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimes of the original Vedic knowledge, form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe, but nonetheless, being situated as a supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. Please repeat the translation. There is nothing separate from you. The supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead. And effect is material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science. And therefore, they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center and the supersoul. The Brahmandas, the universes, exist during the duration of the breath of the Supreme Lord. Jai Sri Kali Swasita Kala Matabalyam Vya Jivanti Loma Yulaja Jagaranna Nataha. Thus, they are also within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Veda Ved Tattva. My respectful obeisances to His Holiness Jayadutta Swami Maharaj and all the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada, as well as the sweet loving devotees of the Chopati Temple. I'm not comfortable speaking in their presence. But I know that some devotees are here because they just want to know what I will speak. I am not going to speak something separate from what you'll be hearing or what is in the scripture. The same thing. But if you hear the same thing in this class, means you are in Maya. Because we are repeating the same thing, but not the same thing. The realizations one gets from sitting in the class is always expanding, always increasing. Never the same. So, some people who are bored in sitting in a class because they are in Maya. For those who are transcendental or relishing the nectar of devotional service, every day is new experience. And every class is also wonderful. Even if it has an ant who is speaking. But the subject of Krishna consciousness is like sugar cane. Any corner you buy the sugar cane is sweet. Any corner is very sweet. Not stale. Anyway, here we are talking about Lord Krishna being the cause of all causes, which is confirmed by Lord Brahma, Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Satchit, Ananda, Vigraha, Anadira, the Govinda, Sarvakarana, Karnam, Anadi, Atma, Purusha, Prakriti, Purusha, Param. That's Kapil Muni. Well, Kapil Dev was speaking to his mother and he was telling her, Anadi Adi Purusha, Prakriti Purusha Param. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the three modes of material nature mentioned here. So Krishna is called Triadish. He is the Lord of the trees. Shrodhika Sai Vishnu, Garavata Sai Vishnu, Mahavishnu. They depend on Lord Krishna. That's one of the three. The three planetary systems is the second tree. What the third tree? The three modes of material nature. Passion, ignorance, goodness. So Lord Krishna is called Triadish. He's master of the trees. In the material world, if you make something, we come under the control of that. So many people die in accident from what we have manufactured. Or some people get influenced under the influence of alcohol, which we manufactured. But that does not apply to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. He created things, and everything which he created is under his supreme order. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam described Lord Krishna to be Vasudev. Vasudev means one who exists in everything. And he has full control of everything, and he has perfect and complete knowledge of everything. Vasudev. Krishna. And he describes himself also as Vasudeva in Bhagavad Gita. Here Lord Brahma is speaking that this Supreme Personality of God is original cause of everything. Both the material cause has origin from Lord Krishna. Maya Ajakshana Prakriti Suratasi Charataram. The material energy under my complete supervision, not separate from me. Nothing is separate from Krishna. Even Maya is under the full control of Krishna. Maya is not independent. Maya is acting under the will of Krishna. Because Lord Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes, but he is not the cause of our suffering. As Lord Krishna create, we also create. We create our situation. We create the material body which we are having. And the next material body, we are also creating it. But here, we are fortunate, we are creating the spiritual body in our next life. So we don't have another material body. The suffering that the living entity experiences in the material world, it is not caused by Krishna. Although he is the supreme cause of all causes, he is not the cause of our suffering. He is not the cause of our enjoyment. But our suffering and enjoyment depends on Krishna. Anumanta upadrasta. He is the supreme witness of every activity and the supreme sanctioner of everything. For example, a little child may not have the strength to lift this table on his head. But seeing his desire, the father may lift it on the head. But when he suffered the weight of the load on his head, his father is not responsible. His father is not responsible because he's not the one carrying the load on his head. And also, it is not his desire to lift the load on the son's head. The son desires it. But seeing his incomplete nature, the father assisted the child so he can have experience. Similarly, we are suffering the dualities of material existence. It is in our own desire, not that Krishna imposes his sufferings on the living entities. We wanted to enjoy material sense gratification. We have no facility. Krishna has given the body, he has given the senses, and also made the material world for us to facilitate our desire. So if someone asks me, why Krishna? Why is it that Krishna cannot stop all of us from sinning? So we're sinless. So I told him, but why should Krishna do like that? Because every living entity will have independence. If Krishna removes independence from the living entity, we are no more spiritual entity. Matter has no independence because it is not spirit. The spirit has some minute independence. So if independence is removed from us, we are no more spirit, we are matter. Therefore, Krishna has given us that independence. And it is left for us to decide what we want to do with it. Those who are very intelligent, who are very fortunate, they want to use their independence for serving Krishna. That is the life of a devotee, a pure devotee. Pure devotees of Lord Krishna, they places placing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the center of their life. But non-devotees, they want to place themselves in the center. So we see, in this material, everyone desires intimacy. But because our desire is selfish, we are exploiters. Therefore, being exploitative in our material desires, the true intimacy is pushed away because of our tendency to cheat. What is our situation? But the process of devotional service is beautiful, transcendental, because in this process, we'll understand what is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our nature, and the relationship we have with the Supreme. And being established in that relationship and perfecting our life in devotional service, we will become transcendental like the Lord Himself. Harihi Niruguna Saksha Purusha Prakriti Param. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the three modes of material nature. He is beyond everything. He is transcendental. And any soul who takes full shelter of Him and serves Him in love, Krishna will make the same soul to be transcendental above the three modes of material nature. Mam chayo abhyabhicharina bhakti yogana sevati saguna samititaitan brahmbhuya kakpati brahma bhuta prasanatma na sochatina kamshati sama servitu bhutesu bhagpatim labhatim param. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comment from Maharaj? Any questions? I'm not afraid of any questions because I have supporters.
Maharaj, you can tell us something about how to be renounced and devoted to chanting. I noticed a lot of staying with you. You were chanting constantly all day, last 2-3 days. Can you explain how to get some taste for chanting Hare Krishna?
Thank you. Although Krishnananda Prabhu, he knows. Devotees are humorous people. That is one of the qualities of devotees, to be humorous. So he wants us to talk about how to chant. There is a mantra saying that the taste of pudding is in eating. That is what they say. So as devotional service is not a mechanical process, there is no mechanical activities which will be pleasing to the soul in devotional service. Chanting also is not a mechanical. Chanting should be the activity of the soul. It's not some activity to exercise our tongue, our ear, or the body, but it's an activity of the soul. For one to have taste for devotional service, the Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami was speaking to the sages in Namisraya. Sutta explains that to have affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva, to chant the holy name of Vasudeva, there is an absolute necessity for such a devotee to have the mercy of a Vaishnava who is on that platform. It is not just enough to chant 16 rounds or to hear or to speak Bhagavatam, to do whatever service we have to do in Krishna consciousness. We must get the mercy of a Vaishnava. That is our strength. And how do we get the mercy of a Vaishnava? It is true devotional service, unmotivated service which is rendered to a true devotee for his satisfaction. So make such a devotee to also have a taste. Practical example, Narada Muni, he explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because I beg the mercy of the Mahabhagavat and constantly hearing them and taking the Mahaprasadam from their plates, the very nature of the Vedanta became attractive to me. It's by the association and by the service which he has rendered. So we are doing activity to please Krishna, not for sure. Not for entertainment for the senses. It is just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee will never do anything if it is not for the purpose of pleasing Guru and Krishna. We are not authorized to do anything. Not because we have hands, we have legs. No. We are authorized only to do things because they are going to give pleasure to Krishna. And when we please Guru and Krishna, we have the affinity to chant the holy name. The holy name will become attractive to for us to chant. Then you can chant, and chant will not be tired. It will be sweet. We will not be chanting the alphabet. We will be chanting the pure holy name. The pure holy name It's very sweet. You cannot buy it in the market. You can only get it from the pure devotees who are also chanting. That is the beauty of association. Because when we associate with the pure devotee, we also get their energy. Association is not just coming together, living in one place. Association means relationship. Relationship is natural. Krishna consciousness is not what it means. We are re-establishing our love relationship with Krishna. But we prefer that activity by how we relate with each other. So here we are learning about the eternal occupation we are going to do with Krishna in the spiritual world right from here. And we will attain that perfection here. It will be easy for us to do it there. So chanting the holy name. Purely, or the chanting for perfection, it requires great humility. It requires appreciation. It requires doing service that will please Guru and Krishna. When these three qualities are there, the holy name will be very sweet.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned that Krishna is the cause of all causes, but he is not the cause of our suffering.
Yes.
So when we go out for preaching, and if something goes wrong in people's life, they first blame God and they say, why did God did this to me? So how do we convince people that you are the cause of your own suffering and Krishna is not the cause of your suffering?
Good question. Yes. Many people feel like that. Our understanding of God is that he's a man sitting there with a hammer on his hand, ready to strike our head for doing something wrong. That's an immature way of understanding God. So the Prabhupada Goswami said we should not think of God, not even as the supreme position of Godhead, but as a friend. So we can have good relationship with him. So it is not that God is responsible for our suffering. We have been living here in the material world, the language is since time immemorial. That means we can't trace how long we have been living here. And what is keeping us here is not because God wants us to be here. It is due to our sinful activities. Because of so many sinful activities we have performed, the reaction for those activities are keeping on the material world. And that is why some of us are suffering in different varieties of problems. So, we'll let them know that actually there is karma and there's law of karma is there. The law of reincarnation is also there. Because of what we have performed in our past life has given opportunity for the life we are experiencing now. And the next life also depends on what we are doing now. So it is better that now we are suffering because of what we have done before. We should now try to become godly. So we will not have suffering again. If you are godly, we don't suffer. We are suffering because we are not godly, we are sinful. We are breaking the principles of God. God has given a nice facility for us to live here. And he don't just leave us alone. He has given the scripture, he has given the chariots to inform us of our things we are doing. But we are not taking proper advantage of the situation. And that's what is making us to suffer. But now that they know that they are suffering, they should listen to saintly people who has a solution to all the problems. And when we listen to them, they will be able to tell us that this is why we are suffering, not God. Why some people are suffering and some are not suffering? Or some suffer but don't really see it as suffering. They see it as a blessing from God. God is not partial. He is equal to everyone. But according to how we relate with him, he responds accordingly. So let us be God conscious in our life, and our suffering will stop. Any more questions? We can end here. Africa, very difficult. I am praying that none of you here should come to Africa. Because if you come there, here you are doing very nice Brahmachari life here. If you come there, you'll be challenged seriously. I'm telling you the truth. Because I have seen that although you are very nice Brahmachari here, but you are eating too much. So if you come to Africa, you have problems very soon. I am not threatening you, but I'm telling you the truth. It's a difficult place. Anyway, it's very sweet also. Because those who learn how to fight, soldiers who learn how to be a proper army in the war front, they are better soldiers. Because they can exist anywhere. Anywhere they can survive. But those who are learning on the peaceful ground when there is no war, when there is war, their knowledge will be challenged. Because theory is different from practical. Or those who are teaching from the book, learning from the book to teach, they are inexperienced. But those who are teaching from experience, they are better teachers. This is what the sages and the missionary requested from Sutta Goswami. The scriptures are too many. Our life is very short. Our intelligence is weak. The duration of life is short. Everything is against us. Therefore, we don't have time to undergo all the sacrifices that are available. You should give us what is the essence of the scripture based on what we have realized. And he produced Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of all the scriptures. So those who teach from the experience are better. So those who are fighting in Africa are more stronger. Because they can exist in India very nicely, they can exist in America very nicely, they can also still exist in Africa very nicely. If I take you to meet Africa in 2 days, you want to run back here. We'll do some preaching also there. Our fufu life is very nice, it's well accepted. Our Harinam also is very nice, well accepted. We'll do Harinam without police permission anywhere. Anywhere. Even in a Muslim state, we are free to do Harinam, and you have people dance with us on Harinam. But their kirtan is slow for me to dance. Now, African, we have strong body, so we dance like electric iron. So, if we were playing mridanga, too slow also for me. Because now we are in a mode of ignorance. So if you if you play this mridanga, no, nobody from Africa will dance for you. So you have to bring a fast mridanga player, who is very smart. And you see how Africans will dance. They come. So if you think that you are dancing, I'm telling you, you are not dancing here. They will dance from here to that corner, one person. Very fast. Kirtan. So this is nice. We have devotees who also know how to play our style on mridanga that can make us dance. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, because that's what we do there. He will just show you. And if you get a mridanga player from there, you will see more.
Maharaj, you were saying about front fighters, frontliners. So, is it that we have to voluntarily be in front, or when we are asked by authorities to be in front, we should go in front?
Wow. Krishna consciousness depends on empowerment. We shouldn't be in the front. Let authorities give us permission to be in the front. You will perform wonders. If you push ourselves to be in the front, you would know nothing, even if you have the material abilities. But if the authority give us permission, give us empowerment, do this. Even if you have no qualification, you will do it very nicely. So we better look for the empowerment from the leaders. What's important? We shouldn't push ourselves forward, even if we know. So keep quiet. Vaishnava ticket, and Krishna was doing that perfectly. It is said that when Krishna is sitting with his father, he will never speak a word. He will be silent, gentle. Even when Lord Balaram was arranging for Subhadra to be married to Duryodhana, Krishna did not like it. But because Balaram is his senior brother and following the proper etiquette, he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. But still, he maintained his supremacy as his Krishna. He kept quiet because his senior brother is speaking. How can he challenge him? But he instigated Arjun to kidnapped Subhadra. Krishna did that. He maintains etiquette, and his will can never be thwarted. He must do what he wants to do. But he is perfect in his etiquette. Arjun kidnapped the Subhadra, and the Balaram became very angry and he wanted to kill Arjun. Then Krishna said, please, listen. He has tortured. So if you kill him now, she's going to become a widow. Do you want to make him a widow? Make her a widow? So the matter was settled. That's Krishna. So she will follow the same footsteps. It's our system. Let us be empowered by our superiors, our leaders who are managing us. Devotees who are whimsical want to act on their own. It will never be successful in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is not my ability, what I know, my intelligence. It is not beyond all this. It's empowerment. Our system is parampara. There is nothing which belongs to us. Anyone can do anything if we are empowered by Krishna. But we are told our material qualification will do nothing. There are many devotees who can speak philosophy that you think they are Mahabhagavat. But when you get them from Asan, what they spoke and their life, they are different. Yes, hypocrisy. We don't want hypocrisy because there are so many. We want pure devotees. Therefore, devotees, they don't have private and public life. They have only one life. Only one life, devotees. Materialistic people, they have two lives. Private is different, the public is different. Therefore, they're cheaters. Devotee, we have one life. Inside and outside is the same. Because we're going to lead the people, and we have to lead from inside out. Those who lead from outside, they don't understand the danger of being a leader. They are not going to perform. Those who desire for position, they will never be good leaders. But those who are empowered, even without the qualification, they are good leaders because they are not going to exploit their subject. So, we should be empowered to act. We shouldn't act on our own. We should be empowered. When we are empowered, we will do nicely. Even if there is mistakes, some errors, it will not be sin because it is not deliberate. And such personalities we are looking for to lead us. Yesterday there was a question, if it's called the body of Srila Prabhupada, it's going to, you know, like a body, dies off. It's a very big question for those who are thinking very well. But I never thought like that. Because the movement is not anyone's made. It is Krishna's property. No one can destroy it. It is eternal. It is permanent. And it's always existing. Even though there may be some difficulties and there may be some attempts, but it cannot happen that the movement dies off. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Let's go on, Founder Chair Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. One pickle for Taru, Vyastaku.